Chapter 9. Command Post Operations. This chapter begins by describing continuous operations. Next, it provides consideration for developing Command Post CP Standard Operating Procedures, SOPs, to facilitate continuous operations. A discussion of CP security and defense follows. This chapter concludes with a discussion about life support for CP personnel and equipment. Continuous operations. Army operations are continuous, and units operate at the same level of intensity for extended periods. Units and organizations must man, equip, and organize CPs to execute operations and sustain command and control, C2, without interruption. During continuous operations, CP personnel perform several routine and recurring tasks to establish, operate, and move CPs. With the assistance of their staffs, commanders develop processes and procedures for performing these tasks. The collective whole of those processes and procedures are encapsulated in SOPs to govern CP operations. Command Post Standard Operating Procedures. Commanders establish and use SOPs to organize the activities in the CPs. SOPs combine detailed steps with checklists that describe how to perform specific tasks to achieve a desired end state. Adhering to an SOP minimizes confusion, misunderstanding, and hesitation as commanders make frequent and rapid decisions to meet the continuous nature of operational requirements. Commanders ensure that comprehensive and detailed SOPs are developed, maintained, trained upon, and used for all aspects of CP operations. In this way, CP operations become routine and are successfully executed in periods of stress and rapid tempo. CP operations and their associated SOPs should be known and rehearsed by all CP personnel. At a minimum, CP SOPs include CP rules of conduct, duties and responsibilities of key personnel, establishment of the CP, site selection and setup, battle rhythm, staffing and shifts plans, including eating, fitness, and sleeping plans, CP battle drills, building and maintaining of situational understanding, displacement of the CP, physical security and defense of the CP, CP life support, traffic flow and control, and vehicle parking. Unit SOPs provide the basic framework for CP operations. They allow common repeated tasks to be standardized and executed quickly, enabling CPs to operate more effectively and efficiently. See ATP 3-90.90 for detailed information on developing SOPs. Command Post Rules of Conduct. CP operations call for strict focus and discipline from all personnel. For this reason, CPs establish SOPs that outline rules for maintaining good order and discipline. Posting these rules in a highly visible area in the CP is a technique that helps remind personnel of those rules. At a minimum, these rules should address CP cleanliness standards, noise, light, and litter discipline, proper weapon handling procedures, proper uniform standards, conduct before, during, and after meetings, sensitive item control procedures, classified information handling procedures, daily maintenance requirements, CP access controls, such as badging, challenge, and password, personal electronic devices. Duties and responsibilities of key personnel. The CP is where commanders establish their C2 systems, and staffs are key components of those systems. A CP must be staffed by personnel with the appropriate skills and military occupational specialties to exercise C2. The assigned roles of officers and non-commissioned officers, NCOs, in the CP structure are critical to effective operations and mission accomplishment. Individuals must not only have their ability to perform their duties, but they also understand how their duties relate to others' duties throughout the CP. A detailed list of duties and responsibilities of CP personnel in the SOP helps enable efficient CP operations and C2. Chief of Staff or Executive Officer. The Chief of Staff, COS, or Executive Officer, XO, is the commander's principal assistant. Commanders normally delegate executive management authority to the COS or XO. As the key staff integrator, the COS or XO frees the commander from routine details of staff operations and the management of the CP. division and higher echelon units are assigned a COS. Brigades and battalions are assigned an XO. The COS or XO ensures efficient and effective CP operations. The COS or XO duties include, but are not limited to, coordinating and directing the work of the staff, establishing and monitoring the CP battle rhythm, and nesting it with higher echelon and subordinate headquarters battle rhythms for effective planning support, decision-making, and other critical functions. Representing the commander when authorized. Formulating and disseminating staff policies. Ensuring effective liaison exchanges with higher echelon, subordinate, and adjacent units and other organizations as required. Supervising the sustainment of the CP and activities of the headquarters and headquarters battalion or company. Supervising staff training for CP operations. Supervising the special staff sections in division through Army Service Component Command Headquarters. Approving site selection of the CP. Operations Sergeant Major. The Operations Sergeant Major is a senior NCO in the CP responsible for monitoring and supervising the performance of the enlisted operations staff. The Operations Sergeant Major assists the operations officer in all matters pertaining to the operations process, including planning, rehearsing, monitoring, and controlling operations in the COIC. In addition, the Operations Sergeant Major assists the CP officer in charge with CP administration, including but not limited to establishing the CP, displacing the CP, providing security for the CP, maintaining continuity of CP operations, executing sleep plans, managing stress within the CP. The Operations Sergeant Major directs section NCOs to maintain guard rosters, sleep plans, shift schedules, and discipline in and around the CP. The Operations Sergeant Major works closely with the headquarters company NCO in charge on the logistics requirements, tactical employment, and security of the CP. Specific duties of the Operations Sergeant Major include leading, guiding, training, developing, and mentoring soldiers during CP operations, assisting in the setup and conduct of rehearsals and briefings, including operation orders briefings, enforcing battle rhythm, standards, and discipline in and around the CP, assisting in development, refinement, and enforcement of the unit's SOPs, recommending priorities regarding allocation of resources, preparing operational records and reports, and ensuring the implementation of administrative policies and procedures, directing the planning, implementing, and supervising of the CP security and defense plan, coordinating with higher echelon headquarters for life support, assisting with planning, implementing, and supervising CP displacement, overseeing the setup, operation, and dismantling of the CP, assisting with casualty and equipment evacuation operations, directing the shift NCO in charge on traffic control, shift changes, orders production, communications networks, network discipline, and reporting and log accuracy. Battle Captain. Units use the term battle captain to identify the shift officer in charge in a CP. Units associate the term with position, not rank. The battle captain assists the commander by being the focal point in the CP for communications, coordination, and information management. The battle captain is responsible for knowing the current situation two echelons lower than the CP and the activities of adjacent units at all times. To function effectively, the battle captain has a working knowledge of all elements in the CP, understands unit SOPs, and ensures that the CP staff uses them. The battle captain knows the current plan and task organization of the unit and understands the commander's intent. In addition, the battle captain understands the limits of the battle captain's own decision-making and action authority. The battle captain ensures that relevant information is given to decision-makers. The battle captain works closely with all members of the command group and the staff. The battle captain ensures that those staffs continuously update unit status. The battle captain analyzes new information as it enters the CP and passes it to the appropriate staff officers or the commander. The battle captain knows the commander's critical information requirements and understands the criteria and triggers for the commander's decision points. The battle captain knows the scheme of maneuver and ways the unit integrates warfighting functions into operations. The battle captain assists the COS or XO in synchronizing the staff and current operations. The battle captain has the overall responsibility for the smooth functioning of the CP facility and its staff elements. This range of responsibility includes, but is not limited to, maintaining continuous operations of the CP, battle tracking the current situation, ensuring that all stations maintain communications and that they route and log all messages and reports per the SOP, assisting the COS or XO with information management and coordination of CP staff functions to ensure a smooth and continuous information flow between the staff sections of the CP, processing and gathering relevant incoming tactical and logistics data and providing that as information to the CP staff, tracking commander's critical information requirements and providing recommendations to the commander and COS or XO, sending reports to higher echelon headquarters and ensuring staffs pass relevant information to subordinate units, providing security for the CP, including physical security and maintenance of noise and light discipline, ensuring mobility of the CP, including configuration, equipment, and training that facilitates rapid movement, conducting CP battle drills and enforcing the CP SOP. Battle non-commissioned officer, assistant operations sergeant. The assistant operations sergeant, or shift NCO in charge, works in the COIC and assists the battle captain and operations sergeant major in ensuring the CP runs efficiently. The assistant operations sergeant duties include, but are not limited to, assisting the battle captain as required, receiving information, monitoring the situation, and updating the common operational picture, COP, ensuring that staffs distribute reports and messages properly, supervising the publication of orders and graphics, supervising all the enlisted personnel in the current operations cell during shifts, managing guard rosters, sleep plans, and shift schedules, supervising journal clerks, radio telephone operators, and computer operators in recording, disseminating, and posting information. Liaison officer. Some CPs provide or receive liaison personnel who help coordinate, synchronize, and plan operations. Outgoing and incoming liaison personnel and teams require their own transportation and communications links to their parent headquarters. Liaison teams require a foreign language capability when working with non-English-speaking allies or partners. The liaison officer, LNO, or NCO, represents the commander at the headquarters of another unit for coordinating and promoting cooperation between the units. LNOs require clearly defined duties and responsibilities. Minimum selection criteria for LNOs include knowledge of the tactical situation, an ability to communicate effectively, language capability as required, other specific criteria required by the mission. See Chapter 3 for a more detailed discussion of liaison. Digital Master Gunner. Digital Master Gunners are the commander's subject matter experts regarding operations, maintenance, integration, and training for the information systems that generate the COP for the commander and staff. Because of the proliferation of technology in CPs, commanders assign trained and certified Digital Master Gunners to CPs. A Digital Master Gunner duties include, but are not limited to, integrating CP C2 systems, assisting in establishing the CP network, troubleshooting C2 systems architecture, assisting the COP manager in developing the COP, implementing a unit individual digital training program, maintaining information systems, managing the digital crew roster, advising the commander on capabilities and limitations of digital systems in support of mission requirements. Note, the Mission Command Center of Excellence on Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, offers a Mission Command Digital Master Gunner course. For more information, go to the Mission Command Center of Excellence website at https://usacac.army.mil/organizations/ MCCOE, Common Operational Picture Manager. An effective technique for managing the COP and the CP involves designating a COP manager. The COP manager has a high degree of attention to detail, experience working with C2 systems and CPs, computer skills, intelligence expertise, and specific knowledge. This knowledge includes relevant doctrinal publications such as ADP 5.0 and ADP 6.0. The COP manager works for the battle captain. The COP manager's duties include, but are not limited to, being responsible for all information displayed as the COP, updating unit locations and events through the digital component of the COP, updating unit locations and events on the analog COP, coordinating with other staff sections for COP manipulation during briefings, receiving guidance from the command group on specific views or manipulations of the COP for situational understanding purposes, ensuring redundancy with analog COP or battle tracking. Request for Information Manager. Units are not typically manned for a Request for Information, RFI manager. However, commanders should identify one to aid in conducting effective CP operations. This individual is usually in the current operations cell and has responsibility for managing RFIs. The RFI manager serves as a single point of contact for incoming and outgoing RFIs. This manager consolidates RFIs generated from the unit CP and its subordinate elements and distributes them to the appropriate element for answers. The RFI manager works directly for the battle captain. Primary responsibilities of the RFI manager are to track and maintain RFIs on some type of tracker. All RFIs include a suspense date for return to the RFI manager. Capture command group RFIs and produce appropriate RFI slides to brief at a daily plans update briefing for battle rhythm meetings. Brief the battle captain on any critical or short suspense RFIs received. Close out all RFI actions on the tracking log. Enlisted soldiers. Positions inside a CP often have enlisted soldiers filling them. These soldiers serve as vehicle operators, systems maintainers, radio operators, security personnel, and other critical personnel who enable the administrative functioning of the CP. These soldiers receive training in their duties and the duties of the next senior person in their cell or section. Enlisted soldiers assist in battle tracking, build situational understanding, and enable battle captains and NCOs to maintain a COP for the commander. Establish the command post. Commanders ensure that CPSOPs include general guidelines for establishing the CP. These particular SOPs address CP site selection and priorities for work for the CP setup. Command post site selection. Selecting the right location to position a CP is critical to its survivability. Poor placement can result in limited flexibility, limited mobility, enemy detection, degraded survivability, and reduced effectiveness. Commanders select a CP location by conducting a mission variable analysis. They consider mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, and informational considerations, known as METTCI. After the analysis, they conduct a leader's reconnaissance of the potential site. If the situation does not allow for a leader's reconnaissance, CP staff can use available information system resources, such as line-of-sight analysis tools and satellite imagery. Considerations for selecting a CP location include, but are not limited to, establishing security, using communications ability with higher echelon, subordinate, and adjacent headquarters, determining the range of enemy weapon systems, gaining accessibility to passable entry and departure points, even in poor weather, using terrain for passive security, including cover and concealment, avoiding prominent terrain features, including hilltops and crossroads, co-locating with tactical units for mutual support and local security, exercising C2 over subordinate and supporting units. Note: access to civilian communications and information systems, especially when conducting stability operations, may be important to consider when positioning the CP. At higher echelons, maintaining communications with the host nation, the home station, and other service and force components also influences communications when deciding on CP locations. Built-up areas can be good locations for CPs because they provide cover and concealment, access to electricity and other services, and adequate ingress and regress routes. However, such areas can put indigenous populations at risk and can provide enemy units with covered and concealed positions to monitor and attack the CP. Priorities of work for command post setup. When erecting a CP, staffs follow priorities of work. Priorities of work for CP setup, when trained and written into unit SOPs, improve setup times, promote uniformity, and reduce missed steps. Setting up a CP is a team effort. Responsibility for the CP setup typically goes to the operations sergeant major or the senior NCO. During the CP setup process, all personnel fall under the control of the senior NCO to ensure quick and efficient setup operations. Prior to establishing the CP, units train all personnel in setting up the CP in both internal and external configurations so they can set up the CP quickly. CP setup may vary with the size and mission of the CP. However, CP setup priorities of work generally follow this listed order. Priority 1. Clear the site and establish security. Priority 2. Occupy the site. Priority 3. Establish tactical voice communications. Priority 4. Emplace the CP infrastructure. Priority 5. Emplace camouflage. Priority 6. Set up power generation grid and install power. Priority 7. Set up internal equipment, tables, chairs, lights, and mat boards. Priority 8. Emplace and install networking and data equipment. Priority 9. Install C2 systems. Priority 10. Establish sleeping and mess areas. Priority 11. Improve defensive positions. Battle rhythm. Unit SOPs normally provide a standard battle rhythm in which a unit expects to operate. A CP's battle rhythm consists of a series of meetings, including working groups and boards, briefings, reports, and other activities synchronized by time and purpose. See Chapter 4 for a detailed discussion of battle rhythm. SOPs for a CP detail several characteristics for a battle rhythm. These include, but are not limited to, enabled commander's decision-making, a routine staff interaction and coordination, interaction between the commander and staff synchronization across time, space, and purpose, planning by the staff. Command post shifts. Exercising C2 during continuous operations requires the CP to operate effectively and efficiently. CP personnel will not function efficiently under the stress of continuous operations without established work cycles that allow adequate rest periods. To provide this rest and accomplish the continuous operations requirement, CPs establish designated work shifts for available personnel. Unit manning documents are designed to provide continuous operations. Units organize available personnel to provide effective continuous operations. Establishing shifts provides enough personnel to operate the CP and the required expertise to make decisions on major issues. Units organize shifts using the standard shift, heavy or light shift, and stagger shift techniques. The standard shift evenly divides available personnel based on staff function and expertise. This method provides standardized teams, enhanced teamwork, and simplicity. The disadvantages are a break in the continuity of operations during shift change and possible absence of a key staff officer when needed. Adequate shift change procedures reduce continuity problems. A variation of the standard shift is the heavy or light shift. This method places most personnel on duty when significant activity is ongoing or anticipated. For example, if conducting most operations at night, the heavy shift may be during the hours of darkness. The light shift consists of fewer soldiers, with those who are off duty remaining on call. This method provides flexibility based on mission requirements and the presence of key personnel when needed. The staggered shift staggers the times that personnel come on and off duty. Each soldier works a shift length based on section and duty requirements. In the staggered shift change, personnel are scheduled on overlapping shifts so that the new shift element has access to a body of knowledge 4 to 6 hours old. This method precludes a break in the continuity of operations, but it may be more complex to manage and support. Regardless of the method used, several considerations apply. The commander and key leaders are not placed on a duty shift. For example, the brigade XO is second in command and works as necessary. Personnel who do not work permanently in the CP are not integral parts of a duty shift. This includes LNOs and any attached special staff officers who are unit leaders or commanders. Additionally, members of the command group and the tactical CP are not included. These personnel integrate into the existing manning schedules when present at the main CP for an extended period. A replacement officer or NCO are excellent choices for augmentation shift. Shift change briefings. To ensure uninterrupted operations and shared understanding, staffs conduct a briefing when the shifts change. The shift change briefing provides a mechanism to exchange information periodically among CP staff members. Depending on the situation, it may be formal or informal, and it may include the entire staff or selected staff members. Key CP leaders normally meet face-to-face. The COS or XO oversees the briefing, with participants briefing their areas of expertise. The commander may attend and possibly change the focus of the briefing. If the commander issues guidance or makes a decision, issuing a fragmentary order may be necessary. The briefing's purpose is to inform the incoming shift of the current unit status, the significant activities that occurred during the previous shift, the significant decisions and events anticipated during the next shift. The shift change briefing format and emphasis can change based on the situation. For example, the format for a force conducting stability tasks differs from the format of a force conducting offensive operations. To facilitate a quick but effective shift change briefing, unit SOPs should contain tailored formats. Some criteria that facilitate effective shift change briefings are a dedicated briefing area, a check that all incoming shift key personnel are present, an identified recorder, submission of information slides to the battle captain in a timely manner, an accounting for all CP cells, a discussion of security, reporting procedures, CP organization, information management issues, resupply operations, and maintenance. An assurance that each CP cell NCO conducts an internal shift change briefing. Establishment of criteria to wake senior leaders when their presence is required. Establishment of a plan to update senior leaders after rest periods. The optimal way to ensure shared understanding and situational awareness for smaller echelon CPs at battalions and lower echelons is by conducting the shift change briefing face-to-face and in-person while typically situated in the COIC. For larger echelon CPs at brigade and above, conducting the shift change briefing over the digital C2 systems is a technique that takes into consideration the distributed nature of the CP personnel in a significantly larger CP infrastructure. Command post battle drills. Each CP requires the implementation of battle drills to react to a variety of situations that may be encountered while conducting operations. A battle drill is a collective action performed without the application of a deliberate decision-making process. A battle drill is initiated on a cue, such as an enemy action or a leader's command, and is a trained response to a given stimulus. A battle drill requires minimal leader orders to accomplish. Synchronization and reaction speed are enhanced when the unit SOP defines battle drills and their required reactions, and when units rehearse the battle drills during training. See Appendix E for more information on command post battle drills. Building and maintaining situational understanding. Success in CP operations demands timely and effective decisions based on applying judgment to available information and knowledge. A common function of all CPs is to build and maintain situational understanding. Conducting knowledge and information activities, such as maintaining running estimates, performing focused battle tracking, and managing the COP, enables staffs to provide knowledge to commanders. Staffs provide this knowledge as recommendations to help commanders build and maintain their situational understanding while exercising C2. Knowledge management and information management. During continuous operations, a CP receives large amounts of data and information. In turn, the CP staff performs knowledge and information activities to find the relevant information in the large amounts of data and information available. Through analysis and running estimates, staffs perform battle tracking and manage the COP to help commanders understand situations, make and implement decisions, control operations, and assess progress. Units facilitate situational understanding through knowledge and information management when they create, organize, apply, and transfer knowledge to help develop and maintain an accurate COP. Refer to Chapter 5 and ATP 6-01.1 for more information on knowledge management and information management. Running estimates. Each CP cell and staff section maintains a running estimate. A running estimate is a continuous assessment of current operations used to determine if the current operation is proceeding according to the commander's intent and if planned future operations are supportable. The commander and each staff section continuously consider the effect of new information and update facts, assumptions, friendly force status, enemy activity and capabilities, civil considerations, conclusions, and recommendations. Running estimates never stop, and they must be maintained continuously and redundantly during each activity of the operations process. They provide valuable input into the COP during operations because they aid in depicting key information as it relates to both current and future operations. An accurate COP, coupled with input from comprehensive running estimates, directly supports situational understanding by enhancing the commander's ability to visualize and make decisions during operations. Staffs tailor the format of running estimates so the commander, staff, and subordinate, higher, and adjacent units can easily understand them. Often this requires adding a visual or graphic that supports the displayed information. For more information on the running estimate and an example of a generic running estimate, see FM50. Battle tracking. Battle tracking is the process of building and maintaining an overall picture of an operational environment that is accurate, timely, and relevant. This process combines receiving, processing, analyzing, and monitoring information into a cohesive image that assists the commander in visualizing the current and future states of friendly and enemy operations. Accurate battle tracking enables the commander to make informed decisions and focus resources decisively. The simplest form of battle tracking is the mental and graphic picture built and maintained by using maps, observations, and running estimates. At higher levels, battle tracking is more complex and takes advantage of digital information systems using multiple sources to generate a coherent picture of an operational environment. Battle tracking adds meaning to relevant information by formatting, plotting, translating, correlating, aggregating, organizing, categorizing, analyzing, and evaluating it to create the COP. Successful battle tracking underpins building and maintaining situational understanding. CPs employ both analog and digital battle tracking. Analog battle tracking. Analog battle tracking requires the CP staff to manually update the COP using tangible tracking tools. These tools can include situation maps and imagery, overlays and graphics, markers and whiteboards, push pins and sticky notes, battle boards and status charts, hard copies of orders, frequency modulated radios. Digital battle tracking. Digital battle tracking employs integrated digital C2 systems that combine real-time situational awareness with a visualization capability to develop the COP. The primary tools used to perform digital battle tracking can include Global Command and Control System, Army, known as Geeks A. Command Post of the Future, known as CPOF, or Command Post Computing Environment, known as CPCE. Force 21 Battle Command, Brigade and Below, known as FBCB2. Joint Battle Command Platform, known as JBCP. Advanced Field Artillery Tactical Data System, known as AFATADS. Air and Missile Defense Workstation, known as AMDUS. Distributed Common Ground System, Army, known as DSIGS-A. Full Motion Video, One System Remote Video Terminal. Web Portal. PowerPoint. Audiovisual Equipment. Digital Radios. Staffs document, train, rehearse, and understand battle tracking methods in the CPSOP. Additionally, digital system redundancy is necessary, but so are the analog capabilities if digital interfaces fail or the CP is on the move. In the event that digital battle tracking systems are inoperable or unavailable, CPs must be able to continue battle tracking in the analog mode. Therefore, staffs need to use and update both systems simultaneously. Common operational picture. In a CP, the COP is the end product of knowledge and information activities, running estimates, and battle tracking. It is designed around the commander's requirements, is based on shared information, and facilitates collaborative planning and the achievement of situational understanding. Although the COP is ideally a single display in the CP, it may include more than one display and information in other forms, such as graphical representations or written reports. Commanders achieve situational understanding by applying judgment to the COP. Relevant information provides the basis for constructing the COP, and it primarily consists of information that the staff provides through analysis and evaluation. Data and information from CPs at all echelons and shared among users is used to create the COP. Some sources of this information include reports, running estimates, and information provided by LNOs. For more information on the COP, see ADP 60. Command Post Displacement. Commanders consider the mission variables to determine CP displacement. The mission variables, mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, and informational considerations, are also known as METTCI. Because displacements can be both planned and unplanned, a CP must maintain a readiness posture to displace on short notice. Unit SOPs that cover all aspects of displacement help to maintain a heightened state of readiness to displace. The main CP displaces in either a single or phased move. The method selected depends on the mission variables, distance to be moved, and communications requirements. Critical aspects of C2, such as contact with higher echelon headquarters and subordinate units, must be maintained during displacement. Commanders plan displacements to ensure the main CP is stationary during critical phases of the battle. Timely and efficient CP displacement is a function of training, SOPs, and rehearsals. A unit's SOP covers all aspects of displacement, from triggers for displacement to vehicle load plans. Developers of SOPs for CP displacement consider the mission variables. This helps to assess the threat situation and determine probability of air or ground attack, timelines for the preparation and movement of the main CP, marshalling area to organize the march column and conduct final inspections and briefings, the establishment of detailed security measures, including rehearsing actions on contact drills and conducting a convoy, the movement route, including the start point, required checkpoints, rally points, and the release point. Additional control measures the team might need to identify include critical areas, defiles, choke points, rest and maintenance stops, and danger areas, quartering party organization, briefing, and dispatching, march speed, movement formations, vehicle and serial intervals, catch-up speed, lighting, and times of critical events. Order of march. Key headquarters positions in the order of march must enable continuous C2 and maximum protection using available combat assets. Use of multiple serials based on the size of the organization, indirect fire support and contingency actions, and actions on contact rehearsals. Contingency plans covering vehicle breakdowns, lost vehicles, and accidents. Sustainment, including refueling, mess operations, vehicle recovery, military police assistance, and medical evacuation. Preparation and issuance of an order upon completion of the planning tasks. Tasks required to transfer C2 functions to the alternate CP. Command Post Security and Defense. Effective CP security and defense SOPs integrate many security measures to ensure that personnel, information, infrastructure, and facilities are protected from enemy attack. Security and defensive measures must be established based on an assessment of the full range of threats, including enemy conventional forces, terrorists, insurgents, organized criminal elements, and insiders. CPs for corps and divisions may require an augmentation security force. Establishing a CP within a base camp is an effective security and defense technique. For example, after the initial U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, Army forces inhabited existing hardened and semi-hardened facilities and established base camps as locations from which to conduct continuous operations. From 2004 until 2011, the Joint Operations Center for Multinational Force Iraq occupied Al-Thaw Palace, located within the Victory Base Complex. In terms of basic characteristics, functions, and operations, base camps and CPs are very similar. They both have a defined perimeter, are usually self-reliant for protection, and may serve a specific purpose or be multifunctional. The techniques and principles outlined in ATP 3-37.10 have proven successful to securing and defending base camps, and this applies to CP operations. Layered approach framework. The CP security and defense capabilities are best deployed using a layered approach, such as the one described in ATP 3-37.10. A layered defense provides strength and depth and reduces the destructive effect from any single attack through the dissipation of energy or the culmination of the attacking force. The defense in depth technique provides time for the CP defense forces to assess, decide, and respond. The layered framework for establishing CP security and defense capabilities consists of three areas. These three areas are the outer security area, the perimeter zone, and the inner security area. The outer security area. The outer security area is the area outside the perimeter that typically extends to the limit of available direct fire weapons. Commanders establish an outer security area to provide early warning and reaction time and to deny enemy reconnaissance efforts and vantage points for conducting standoff attacks. The outer security area includes the emplacement of chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear detectors with alarms if chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear is a condition of the battlefield. The outer security area is typically patrolled by mobile or on-foot security elements. The perimeter zone. The perimeter zone includes the CP perimeter and area immediately in front or behind it. The perimeter zone contains observation posts, fighting positions, and early entry command posts. The inner security area. The inner security area is inside the CP perimeter. Interior barrier plans can be used around individual CP facilities and critical assets. Units can also use these plans as traffic control measures to add depth to the CP security plan and to halt or impede the progress of threat penetrations of the perimeter zone. Commanders and their staffs apply the framework for CP security and defense to focus their planning activities and ensure all critical elements of CP security and defense are addressed. The framework is not intended as an all-inclusive solution to CP security and defense, but it is intended to provide a general template for planning. The CP security and defense plan must ensure adequate protection with as small a force as necessary to avoid diminishing operations and without impeding staff sections from performing their primary mission tasks. See ATP 3-37.10 for more information on CP security and defense. Layered approach considerations. Prior to implementing the layered approach, planners should also consider the ability to provide early warning, the positioning of key weapons systems and development of range cards and sector sketches, the designation of final protective lines and final protective fires, the clearing of fields of fire, the preparing of hasty or deliberate fighting and survivability positions, the emplacing of protective obstacles and barriers, entry and access control points and procedures, the assurance of redundant communications means, the rehearsing of reactions to contact, rules of engagement, casualty evacuation, and the use of response forces, the continuation of improving the defense based on continuous threat and vulnerability assessments, command post life support. The pace of continuous operations will inevitably cause stress on the CP staff. Without a life support SOP in place, both personnel and equipment performance will degrade quickly. CP life support during continuous operations includes managing daily operations, field safety, equipment maintenance, power management, fuel consumption, environmental impacts. Daily operations. In a CP, daily operations are those routine tasks that must be accomplished from day to day to ensure efficient and continuous operations. Typically, the operations sergeant major has overall responsibility for ensuring that all CP daily duties get accomplished. These duties include refueling operations, generators, heaters, stoves, and vehicles, policing inside and outside the CP, conducting logistics package operations, adhering to and enforcing the CP rules, conducting daily healthcare and hygiene activities, checking the wind lines on CP tents and communications antennae to ensure that they are secure, performing daily maintenance on C2 systems, computers, and printers, performing preventive maintenance checks and services on CP equipment, shredding all classified and unclassified documentation, visually inspecting electrical grounding, cables, and connections, conducting field mess operations, executing rest plans. Field safety. Continuous operations are inherently hazardous. All operations involve placing individuals in and around large equipment, weapon systems, and difficult terrain. Prior to conducting CP operations, leaders develop a safety SOP at each echelon and implement it. Safety is everyone's responsibility. Leaders emphasize safety and make on-the-spot corrections. Prior to conducting CP operations, leaders create SOPs that identify, assess, and mitigate hazards in, at a minimum, these areas: vehicle operations, mounting and dismounting equipment, maintenance, electrical safety, weapons system safety, fire safety, sleeping area safety, extreme weather. Equipment maintenance. Proper maintenance is the key to keeping CP vehicles, equipment, and other materials serviceable. It is a continuous process that starts with preventive measures taken by each operator and continues through repair and recovery efforts by higher-level maintenance personnel. It includes services involved in inspecting, testing, servicing, repairing, requisitioning, recovering, and evacuating equipment. Preventive maintenance checks and services are the foundations of field-level maintenance. Preventive maintenance as a system includes all checks and services performed by the operator or crew and the field maintenance section. It is performed in order to identify and correct faults, as well as perform required services on all assigned equipment. See DAPAM 750-3 for more information on maintenance, as it provides a single go-to reference for field maintenance operations. Power management. Electric power is critical to the success of CP operations, since units rely on it extensively to run many of their equipment and support systems. The Army fielded standardized integrated CP system is powered differently from previous versions. Rather than each particular system running on its own generator, the CP systems are collectively powered from a single source. This concept is called central power. A power plant provides power which is supplied to the equipment through a network of cables and distribution equipment. Key components to effective power management are selecting a power source, setting up power generators, including use of phases, wiring, loading, physical location, and sunshade, grounding power sources and electrical components, distributing the power. Note, if available, reliable commercial power is a good choice when a CP is at a long halt. Fuel consumption. Field CPs rely heavily on power generation equipment to sustain continuous operations. Power generation equipment provides the electricity for lighting, cooling, heating, computers, networking equipment, and other life support systems. Power generation equipment and CP vehicles require fuel to operate. CPs carefully manage fuel supplies, resupply, and consumption so they can conduct effective and sustained CP operations. Typically, a CP will have fueling vehicles that are assigned by its table of organization and equipment, known as TO&E. The basic load of fuel for the CP is the hauling capacity of its fuel vehicles, including the vehicle's fuel tanks. Topping off vehicles and equipment whenever possible is essential to continuous operations. Environmental impacts. Certain areas of CP operations require particular attention to avoid environmental impacts and to protect health and quality of life. Environmental considerations during CP operations include field sanitation, hazardous material storage, transportation, treatment, redistribution or reuse, and safeguarding. Spill response and reporting. Storage, distribution, and safeguarding of petroleum, oils, and lubricants. Integrated waste management, including the collection, transportation, storage, separation, recycling, treatment, and disposal of solid waste, black water, feces and urine, gray water, other wastewater from sinks or baths, hazardous waste, special waste, medical waste, and explosive waste. Latrine and shower facility locations. Dining facility locations, motor pool and maintenance locations. Conclusion. As discussed, the situation, mission, duration, and intensity of operations are variables that will impact continuous CP operations. Rehearsing SOPs, performing battle drills, and becoming proficient in setup and teardown of the CP makes an organization more efficient in CP operations. The CP is an integral component to successful C2 for all operations.